Let's open our Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and let's see, where did we leave off? Well, yes, in verse 10, where it says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Praise the Lord. "Rise up, my companion, my beautiful one, and come away." And I hope that we didn't leave off, because he's been saying that to you over and over since last Wednesday. And I just pray that we've been attentive to the voice of our beloved as he's been leaping over the hills and leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. And we just thank God for all of this. But he does, my goodness, brothers and sisters. He tells us this all the time. He does. When you're starting to be distracted, your mind's a little captivated with this or that, you think that this is the most pressing situation of your natural life, that this is the most monumental decision that you'll ever make. Listen to him say, "Come away." "My love, my fair one, come on now, rise up, let's come away." Amen? See, that's not just for someday, that's for right now. Because it will never be for someday unless it is right now. Amen? What you're going to enjoy with him over here is what you're going to enjoy with him over there. What we see him as here is what we'll see him as over there. What we enjoy with him here is what we'll go on to enjoy him there. Will we be servants? If that's what all will take, then we'll be palm wavers over there, it expresses to us. But if we'll take that ruling and reigning now, if we'll believe that precious proposal that we're hearing of the Holy Ghost, that, you know what? He wants to marry you. He sent me here for you. He's seeking the true worshiper that worships him, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him right now, in spirit and in truth. I'm seeking you. Will you come now? I pray every hair on your arms and neck are standing up right now. I pray. God help you. Those are spiritual feelings. And the Lord loves you. He loves you so. And this is to you. And this is the call of our beloved bridegroom. And this is his yearning here, as we've been reading. But especially here, as he says, "My beloved, my beloved." And she says, "My beloved spake." That's my much love. This is bridal talk. This is the communion between a husband and a wife. I don't go out in the store and say, "Excuse me, beloved. Could you show me?" No, I wouldn't say that. I'd be arrested. But it is. It's between a husband and a wife. My much loved. And think, brothers and sisters, you know, just allow the Lord to expand your heart in this. Why would this have ever been written? Why would this have ever been placed in this Bible if it wasn't, again, to be uncovered and illuminated by Paul's gospel? The mystery of Jesus Christ in the church. That my son, it's not good for you to live alone, honey. Someday you will have your wife. Someday you'll take the throne from me. Isn't that wonderful? The father. Someday his excitement, "Son, you'll take the throne from me." I'm a dad. I want to see my sons go on to take it on and to go on. And it's wonderful to see your kids mature. How much more so our Father in heaven, waiting for that moment that his son will be complete with his wife and say, "It's yours." Oh, the awe of the Father as he sees his son in full glory. Full glory, because he'll have his wife. And he wants that to be you. So don't see it afar off. It's time to enter in. See, it's almost, how can you even go on? God, again, may the love of you constrain us, huh? Amen. But this is his voice. And praise God, his voice is right here. It's not just the voice of my beloved in some esoteric way or something of that nature. It's the word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's right here. This is his voice. And it is spoken to us by his Spirit. Amen? Again, this is that meeting at the well. This is that Rebecca sitting at the well, hearing the deep things about the master's son and how he wants her fully to have everything with him. And in that spirit, he has the full power. It's the power of his might. And why is it the power of his might? Because it's the love of God. That's the power of his might. If you really think about it, it's the love. The love is all powerful. Love motivates us to come to a Bible study on Wednesday night. It is. It's great love. It's all powerful. But that is the power of his might, also known as the Holy Ghost. And it's love power. And that's the power that he gives to us. And the only power that we'll ever have is how much we are loved by the love of God. Amen? Why does he say to know the love of Christ? Amen? That's it. That's it. If you really know the love of Christ to you, the heights, the depths, the length, the breadth of it, all of it, and I want you to know it, it's all powerful, isn't it? Nothing can stand before that. Praise God. Mountain be removed? Old people may say, well, it's still there. No, it ain't. No, it's not. I see it by faith. You see it by sight, but I see it by faith. And God help us to keep moving that way. Amen. But see, this is the love power that kindles our hearts aflame for him. So let's go there right now. And I mean right now, as we're here tonight, let's go there. Let him sit us at that candlelit dinner. Let all these distractions that we've maybe been distracted with this week. My goodness, Sunday was so long ago, huh? And here we are at Wednesday, but it's time. And this is the wooing of love worship. And brothers and sisters, notice this. This isn't to us. This precious bride, she knows it's to me. It's to you. Praise God. This is drawing you out from among them. You go unto him, and you go out from among the camp. Isn't it wonderful? And that's what's so personal, so individual about this. And he's telling her, listen to my voice. Now rise up, stand, my companion. And really, this is my glory. He says, stand up, my companion, my glory, and come away with me. And yes, when we go away with him, we go without the camp. When we stand for all the counsel of God, when we mount on our camel, brothers and sisters, we leave all the familiar comforts, because his love draws us out unto him. It's the truth. And I thank the Lord. We don't try to leave things and then go unto him. We go unto him, and he draws us out from among the camp. It's so wonderful. He works from the inside out. I love that. I learned that so long ago, all by the grace of God, but through my mom in such a simple way. It wasn't don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. It was, honey, just love the Lord. Love the Lord. She knew it would work. She knew the word of God works effectually in them that believe. And you love the Lord, and let me tell you something, he'll draw you out of that stuff. You love the Lord, and you just be patient in it. Oftentimes we try, don't we? Oh, I'm going to put up such a good effort, but that's failure. It is failure. It's bondage. But that love of God, it'll draw you out. Yes, it will. And you know it, and I love those smiles because he proves himself faithful over and over and over. Verse 11. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Now this speaks of the time right now, brothers and sisters, that he really has prepared for us. He's prepared for us a time for us to fully grow up unto him. The fullness of truth and love and the word of his grace has been given to us. We have a better thing. We have now the whole counsel of God. We have through the Holy Ghost and that empowering, brothers and sisters, we can and should be led into all truth. Amen? Amen. And we should, by God's grace, be filled with all the fullness of God. It is there for us. And it is the word of his grace that builds us and gives us that inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And I thank God that he has prepared this place, that we are set apart to him. As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the vessel that is set apart only for the master's use. And I love that, and how Brother Hill used to illustrate that so sweetly. He would talk about a mustache cup, you know. And if you don't have a mustache cup, I hope you have a toothbrush. So we'll talk about that. You don't put the mustache cup or the toothbrush out there for anybody to come on over and use. Maybe you do, and we'll talk to you later. But you don't. And the reason is because it's yours. It's solely for your use. And the Word of God tells us this. And he expresses about this vessel that is set apart for him and only for him. It's shut up to him. Oftentimes, these lives, brothers and sisters, aren't on display for the whole world to see, are they? Matter of fact, these lives, the world just passes by. It's kind of like that precious diamond. One of the greatest diamonds that's ever been found was found on that public beach. Millions of people had walked by that stone for years and years and years. And then finally, one person was able to look down there, look at it and say, my goodness, I think this looks like something valuable. And that's how it is. Shut up to him. And I thank God that it's right in here that we know our value to him, as he tells us, and this is what we rest in. Now, we are in the time, the Word of God tells us, of the latter rain. And brothers and sisters, it is going to stop. So there is a part of a little bit of encouragement here. It's about time. It's about over. But it's pouring forth like never before. In a sense, what I'm speaking of here is that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It is. It's flooding. There is a famine for the Word of God. But those that want God's best, let me tell you something. It's lighting up. There's an illumination, praise God, and a panting after him that I know is all glorious to him. Not that we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but it's just what it is because the Word of God tells us this. But I was thinking, you know, it's just like a storm. And flying, I kind of watch these storms a little bit more closely. But, you know, I found out about rain and most storms is usually when a storm comes in, it starts to sprinkle and all. And then that rain just hits so hard and heavy. And it's the heaviest part, and then it just stops. It's amazing to me, and I was seeing that the other day again. It was like, you know, here came this little rain just a couple days ago, and then it just poured, like somebody was just pouring buckets of water out, and it went for about 10 minutes. I looked up again, and it had stopped, and the sun came out. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly how it's going to be. He's coming so soon. And this feast of the Holy Ghost, and the feast of the Holy Ghost is going on right now. And it's called the To Be Ready Feast. Everybody gets caught up in all these feasts. Well, I'll tell you, the feast you need to be ready in, it's the Be Ready Feast. And it's going on now, and it's at your home, and it's at this church, and it's at your office. And by the grace of God, I pray that you're partaking in it. But it's going to be over soon, and then time shall be no more. The time to be ready for the coming of the bridegroom, the first trump. It will be over. It will be done. And it will end just like that. Just like that rain. It'll be pouring. We'll be having a service in here by the grace of God. I pray we would. I love this painting Brother Tim painted for me. It got this misty thing in the church here, you know, and all of that. And it looks like, my goodness, and no one's in the pews. You know, that it wasn't a Bronco game, but it was, I'm just teasing, but it was just that they were gone, they were taken up, and I was thinking, wouldn't that be something? Praise the Lord, I'd love to see every one of us not being here. Wouldn't that be a sweet thing? But it's going to be like that. There's a pouring forth right now, and I pray that we're entering into this time to not be reluctant and to not be hesitant. See, they were that way a little bit with Joshua. They thought, well, it was over with Moses. It was over with this. Well, let me tell you something. There's more promise to go walking into, and there is. And I thank the Lord for that, and we go on, and it's going to be that light upon light, and I thank God for these things, and we need to understand that. And if the Lord tarry and he take us home, it will be there for those that go on. And I thank God because it always is like that. So may we take the full opportunity and redeem the time even more. as the word of God says, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. How could we neglect so great salvation? Praise God. Well, only by the grace of God do we acknowledge it, but God help us not to neglect it. Hallelujah. And go on and win him. Apprehend that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, this flowers here, they speak of fragrance and beauty that is going on at this time. There's a precious fragrance and a beauty. There really is. Now, most people, and even Christians, they'll say, what do you mean? The evil of man is waxing worse and worse. Well, sure it is. And yes, it is. It's waxing worse for the world, and it's waxing worse for Christians that are sleeping. And it is. You're either growing or you're fading. It's one of two ways. Neutral you cannot be. But brothers and sisters, for us, and again, it's just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God who are alive. It has never been sweeter. Amen? Amen? And I know a lot of you are getting older. A lot of you have aches. A lot of you have lots of things that are falling off. But I'll tell you what, you're increasing in him and you're thanking God and are so thankful to the Lord because even though that outward man perished, that inward man renewed. Amen. And thanking God for that. And I'm excited with each passing year. It's another year closer to him. Every day, it's another day closer to him. And brothers and sisters, we better get our mind captivated with those thoughts because I'll tell you what, there's an attack going on right now. And it's heavy, and I know it is. I live it every day, too. And if it's not for the Lord captivating my thoughts, God forbid where I would be. So we thank the Lord for this. We know we need him and need this rejoicing in his word moment by moment. But we thank the Lord because, as we know, it's never been sweeter. As we look into the word of God, as he's told us, behold, the bridegroom comes and skips over the hills. But in this 12th verse, there's two distinct songs that I want to point out as we're moving along here. There's the first, the singing of the birds. And the singing of the birds speaks of the word, the good news, and the song of salvation. But this next song is what God help us to be in tune with, is this voice of the turtle. And this turtle means a turtle dove. And we know that even in the natural, and I listen to these birds all day long, and I love all the bird sounds, don't get me wrong. Even them crows and things like that, they're all talking. They all got a language and different things. But there's a special sound of a turtle dove. It's not a chirp. It's a coo. And you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference in that sound. And, you know, God, I'll tell you, he's in the little things, and he points these things out. And that cooing, as we know, is a love song. And this cooing that the Word of God is speaking of here in this turtle dove is the wooing of the Holy Ghost. Just as the dove descended upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost filled that precious vessel, and thanking God how that so marvelously was done. That same song of the Holy Ghost is to us right now. And that song is to rise up, amen, to stand. And to stand in the things of God for our lives. And to stand in everything that we face by God's grace. Not to cut deals, not to say, Lord, I'll get to it in a moment. Brothers and sisters, when he's convicting your life, make the move. Make the move. It's such a beautiful time. It really is. It's such a beautiful thing to make the move now and not to delay. It will be full joy to you now. It really will. There'll be a satisfaction and humility as we move in the things of God right now and not put them off. It's so precious as he deals with us. But I love how he says this. He says, you know, again, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Think of this. And it says there, the turtle dove is heard in our land. See, our land. See, that turtle dove, that wooing, that coo of the Holy Ghost, if you want to call it that, it's not going to be heard anywhere else. It's going to be heard in our land. Our land. That's the jointly reigning land. See, there's something that's possessed by both of them. Can you see that? See, their little things mean a lot here. And what he's saying here is that cooing of that turtle dove is heard in our land. Amen? See, people get offended sometimes when you talk about that. What do you mean you're going to rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ? Well, it says that in Romans. It says that in Ephesians. It says that in Colossians. If I'll believe it. Amen? And I believe it. Told me back about that man, as Jesus said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. Amen? And I believe he says his promises are yea and amen. And I believe it says it is impossible for God to lie. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I want to believe the word of God and not just bits and pieces. And that's what's so beautiful as we go through is, you know, don't get too serious about this life. Don't think it's so weighty. Don't think, oh my goodness, this is my last opportunity for this or that or whatever it is. Just go with God. Just go with God. Honor him. You know, again, whatever you do, do heartily unto him. But it's not about the results. It's really not. Everybody's in the results and the things of that nature. It's about yielding. We already know what the result's going to be if you yield. Amen? 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 Come on now. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about that result. That's the only result there isn't. If I yield completely to him, I know what's going to be. I do. I believe him. He said, if I love his appearing, there'll be an exalted rank of righteousness crown, honey. Amen? And he's placed it in your hand. He's not just carrying you with it. Isn't he a wonderful God? He's not just holding it out in front of you and say, oh, come on, come on, come on. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What do you think? Isn't he wonderful? See, he's not trying to bait you. He's given himself fully to you. Fully. Fully. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But see, this is our land. Something that they possess together. There's a bridal theme here again. We see that over and over. It's not just about the whole thing. It's about every line. It's about every word. But they possess it together. And it's the land, believe it or not, of grace and glory. It's the land of I'm living in Canaan now. Amen? See, tents that are pitched in Egypt, tents that are pitched in Sodom, even ones that still are in the camp, they don't hear this. They don't hear this song of our land. They don't hear the song of the lover's land. You can't hear it there. It'll just pass you by. It'll be like, what was that? Or I didn't hear it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise God. All right, verse 13. The fig tree puts forth the green figs, and the vines with the tender grape have a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now these figs speak of the Jewish nation, and the vines speak of Israel here. And this blossoming and fruit from them speaks of the gathering back of the Jew into Israel. And I love how God, again, in his faithfulness, he brings all of these things, even out in this precious love letter of the signs of his coming. And the shadows and all of these things. And I'm so grateful to God how I was even watching a show just the day before yesterday about how many Jews are moving again, even from the United States back to Israel and the things of that nature. We see this starting to come forth. And as they begin to come to life, and we see that there's an encouragement just about ready to break forth, praise be to God. And it's in that sign and other manifold signs that Jesus gives us, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. He sounds the love alarm again as he tells her these things. But here's the greatest one, in case you're not getting it here, honey. One more time. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. See, don't get caught up in just the types. You know how there's many people that say, oh, well, look at this. And there's whole shows and all of, there's people that really love the Lord and wonderful gifted ministers. But their whole life is caught up into signs and types and all of those things. And that's wonderful. I praise God for that. But that's not what I'm captivated on. That's why he comes back and tells her one more time, wait a second here. I don't want you to get distracted, honey. I'm just trying to, again, let you know my coming's nearer. It's soon. But this is about us. It's about my love to you. It's about how much I love you. Stand. Just stand in it. Stand in what I'm telling you. I love you. I'm satisfied with you. Praise God. All that grace, you're my glory, honey. Believe me. Believe what the word of my grace does. It builds you up. It builds you up. It gives you this inheritance. It gives you my inheritance. And it sets you apart as that chosen vessel unto me. Amen? Just the simple thing, isn't it? The word of his grace. It's just so beautiful. It's not all your works. It's not everything you've done. It's not all that you've achieved. It's the word of his grace. Amen? My grace, he says, my grace. And I give it to you. It's yours, honey. And that's what I want you to stand in. I want you to arise in that. And oh my companion. Always know that. My love, this means companion. And this fair one means my beautiful one, my glory. So he's really telling her, just stand. Stand, my companion, my glory, and come away. Amen? Isn't that when we really come to him? Isn't it wonderful? You never really come to him without it in anything else. You won't. It's in love. This drawing out, this what he's calling us to, this is what it is. So we thank God that he does this over and over. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a little bit of a sadness in this because this signifies yet again that she's still distracted. He's calling her again out. And the word so sweetly continues moment by moment. My love, come away. My love, come away. Quit being distracted with all that. And I thank the Lord how, you know, even when we're in courtship in these things, and sometimes and oftentimes we're so readied for that. You know, we're not distracted by anything when we're courting. But remember, in the Word of God, it says, my wife hath made herself ready. Amen? So she's a readied wife. Well, I was thinking, and I don't know, my wife's upstairs or downstairs. Oh, there she is. Sorry, honey. But it's so sweet. And I know there's things to do. And oftentimes, you know we got to get things done. But oftentimes I have to just say, honey, you got to stop that. Come on, stop. Let's come away. And it's the truth. As much as, and we do things for one another because we love one another. But then we miss the best part. Isn't that something? You knew that Martha loved Jesus. Amen. Didn't she love Jesus? Sure, she loved Jesus. And she was trying to make everything right. And just saying, well, we're going to do this. Well, and Jesus appreciated it. But there was something that stole his heart. And that something was what came away with him. And was sitting right at his feet. And that sweet Mary had taken the better part. So in those wonderful examples that we have, we thank God that he's doing that with us right now. Verse 14. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. My goodness, he's after her, isn't he? He is. You talk about a lover, a pursuer. He just won't leave her alone. And you know that, don't you? And praise God how he keeps it coming. He tells her to come away, and you can tell she's still distracted, so he's not quitting. He's still coming. And this is so sweet because he's continuing on in his love and his encouragement to her. And he calls her my dove. This means my gentle and beautiful one. Isn't that wonderful? That's how she is to him. And how sweet it is complimenting her that you've taken the cleft of the rock, for I am your rock and your salvation. She's hiding herself away in him, and it's lovely. But it goes on here, and she's taken the secret places of the stairs. And what this really speaks of is a covering in her life. In the heights of my love. And as you go on with God, it's like I say, and we've talked about this earlier, as you go on with God, you're not going to grow great in the eyes of man. You're not going to grow great in the eyes of Christendom. You're not. Matter of fact, you'll be despised. What kind of nut are you? Huh? As you go on with God, you become shut up to his son. And that's how this is, that vessel that shut up and away to him as you ascend. And that's what this staircase speaks of, is she's gone to the place of ascension. She's gone past the halfway house. She's allowed those hinds feet to be used and to take her on and on up. And the secret of the stairs, brothers and sisters, can be nothing other than the hidden mystery of Jesus Christ in the church. The secret of the stairs, brothers and sisters, is Paul's gospel. As it says in Proverbs 25, and I love this verse, these couple verses here, 25:2. In Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing." Isn't that something? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. But the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Praise the Lord. Now listen, it goes on. The heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of the kings is unsearchable. And all I can say to that is, oh my, what he's put in us. What he's put in us. The heart that he's given us. Huh? David had a heart after God's very own heart, did he not? Well, I believe God's heart would be unsearchable, would you not say? What do you think? Has he given you that heart? Sure he has. That's why you're here. That's why, praise the Lord, it encourages us. Know that it's Christ in you. Know that you can just let God do this. He's able. He'll perform the good work. Amen? I don't need to try and to give effort. I show up because of love. Love draws me. And love will bring this forth. And I thank the Lord. I can tell you, even with studies and sermons and things of that nature, more and more he shows me through it. Honey, just let me give it. Let me do it. And it's beautiful. I anticipate in excitement. Lord, what will you have? I pray you come the same way. What will you have for us, Lord? And praise God. He's always abundant. And when we allow him, he'll always show himself faithful and true. So thank the Lord. But it goes on to say, let me see thy countenance. And isn't that wonderful? He sure wants to see her, doesn't he? Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance is beautiful, much beautiful to me. Comely, it's astounding. You've ravished me, honey. And why does he want to see her countenance? Why does he want to look upon that? Because it's the evidence the evidence is in our countenance. When we go this way, it's joy. That joy and rejoicing. Our countenance when we go on with God, that's what he's ravished with. Our countenance when we're in a fiery trial and we believe the Lord, not only was he going to deliver us, but Lord, I see that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I see, Lord, that in this great infirmity where I know there's no way out of myself, that the very power of Christ is resting upon my life. That's the beauty to the Lord. That's the countenance, praise God, that he rejoices in. And it's the pinnacle of beauty that he wants to see. And you see, he's always after more and more in us. More fellowship, praise God, at that table for two. And see, that's when he really looks upon you. And for someone to really look upon you, you know what? You got to be still. Amen? You can't be moving and jerking all around. You got to be still. Praise the Lord. You know, for those that have ever been proposed to, you know, I didn't get down on my knee and do this. Hi, honey. You know, and I've said it many times. I wasn't looking into a face that was looking at her somewhere else. You know, I wasn't looking into an ear. You looked into eyes, and you had that fellowship, and you had that, praise God, that's what he wants. That's the countenance. Amen? Amen. Okay. I believe he's getting our attention. And see, this is turning to him fully. I mentioned this verse earlier. Go over to Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 7. And it says there, 50 verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Oh, yes, he will. That's a good one. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, like a fiery rock. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what that really means there? I shall not be disappointed. The Lord will never disappoint you. If you'll wait on him, that is the biggest understatement I could ever tell you. But God in his great humility says, you won't be disappointed. Oh, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. How wonderful this is to have eyes only on him. To have eyes that are not distracted. Allowing him to see us just as I am. Amen. See, this is going to be a problem that we're going to find in the type of this Shulamite. She wants to kind of change her look. It distracts her. It's a work of grace. It's all he wants to see. Honey, I love you just the way you are. And this is such a beautiful encouragement here. And she wants, he wants her to be still for him to enjoy her fragrance, her beauty, and to surrender to the stillness that the lovers know. Now he goes on here, let's go back to Song of Solomon. He goes on to address this distraction now in these next few verses a little bit more. In verse 15 he says, take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And notice how it's ours. Isn't that wonderful? See how shared this is? See how wonderful this ownership? This is a jointly reigning, this thanking God how together this is, the unity. But notice here, it's not the big things. These are the little subtle things. And the fox means here, it means binding. These are the things that bind us. Oftentimes, the big things are easy to give to God. It's the little things that you think you can handle that are just messing you up. And I know that all too well. The foxes were known at that time. And what they would do is when these vines would start to bud these flowers before the fruit would come, they would eat those buds. And if those buds would be eaten, there would be no fruit. And see, blooms are wonderful to see. But the joy and the value is in the fruit. Amen. And there has to be a waiting and a standing again. Amen. And a standing in defense of the gospel of Christ and not moving. But these little distractions would ruin it all. The bountiful harvest robbed oftentimes by little things. You think about things that have knocked people out of, in a sense, of running for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People that I knew that rejoiced in the deep, deep things of God. And somebody said a little something, or somebody didn't rub them right, or they didn't like this, or, you know, my kids wanted this, or something just so small. And yet, it robbed that fruit. And God help us, brothers and sisters. We need to understand he's in the small things. And we need to be alert. We need to be fighting on every front because it is worth it all. Verse 16, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. Now, she responds very wonderfully sweet here. But yet, this still shows that it's not complete. Her focus is still first on herself. And it's the truth. See, later on, so joyously, when she fully embraces him, we'll just get to the end of the story because I know you know it anyways. But it's so wonderful. when she fully surrenders, finally, in this precious love story, she really gets it. And it's not anymore, my beloved is mine. It's, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I'm his. Amen? It's just like when, God willing, we'll have a wedding here. And it does represent that. There is the woman. And there's usually the daddy that is the father that's giving her away. And she becomes the groom. He goes down and gets her, catches her away to him. And she takes his name. Yes, he does. And it's wonderful how that happens. And it's written upon her. And thanking God that this is this type again that we have, is this is his love to her. But yet, see, at this time, it's still not fully apprehended. For again, she's saying, my beloved is mine, as opposed to I am my beloved's, which is the most glorious of all, because that's where everything comes from, is I am my beloved's. But most that love the Lord, brothers and sisters, truly, and I'm talking about ones that really love the Lord, they really still only know, I am my beloved's. Huh? I mean this. How many people do you really know as Christians? Oh, and I love the song, but oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how much I love Jesus. How many times have you ever heard somebody really tell you about how much Jesus loves them? You know what I'm saying? Now, I want to profess my love for the Lord. We understand that. But when you're going deep, and you don't go deep, matter of fact, but when the Spirit takes you deep, he takes you into, yea, the deep things of God, and it's by his Spirit, and what it is to know the love of Christ to you. That's what's so wonderful. And it's limited here. You still see that it hasn't come to that fullness. And it goes on even in this verse that you can tell there's a limited vision there, because she says here, he feedeth among the lilies. And see, this represents that he is still shared in her life. This is what this really is getting at, that there's a sharing. Now, let me express something to you very sweetly. I don't know how he does it, but when you get to this point with the Lord, you're the only one. It's just the way he does it, because he's God. And when he takes you into this courtship, you will know, and you will feel like you are the only one. Now, I know by the grace of God, hallelujah, we run together as we run to him alone. And I thank God for that. And I appreciate this unity of the Spirit that he gives us in this bond of perfectness. But brothers and sisters, it truly is this precious life that we apprehend him. But see, she at this time has not apprehended him, because he is shared among the other lilies. And here is the proof, finally, and we'll close this up tonight, of her unreadiness and why she is still unready. In verse 17, it says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now, this word Bether, it means separation. And what she's asking him at this time is basically, turn from me. And when he is the lover of your life, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be separation. It is. There's going to be separation. And separation has pain. And it does. But it especially has pain when we're focused on what we're being separated from, as opposed to what we're being separated to. There's a difference there. See, when our focus is on what we're being separated from, there's going to be pain. But when our focus is on what we're being separated to, there's joy. Amen? Yes, amen. Come on now. I know that there is pleasures of sin for a season. I know that. This flesh knows that. But there's the Word of God that tells me that there is an inheritance of love and of joy and of everything that he has that cannot even be compared. It's not even worthy to be uttered for any of these temporal sufferings that we have that are but for a moment. And how are they but for a moment? When we're caught up at the table for two. Because when you're with a love, time passes so quickly, doesn't it? Doesn't it just fly? Stand still in a way, but it sure moves. And that's what this is all about, brothers and sisters. He will be here soon. It may seem long at certain times, but his coming is soon. Praise his name. Now, here she is wanting him to turn from her in this trying time. Sufferings can be an obstacle, brothers and sisters, when we are occupied with them, as opposed to being what God has ordained them for in our lives, to be the gifts between the lovers. Do you know that? He says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Amen? If you'll suffer together with Jesus Christ, you'll be glorified together with him. You will reign and rule jointly together with him. But at this time, she again is caught up in that suffering. She's saying, hey, look, we're going to have to wait on this till the day breaks. There's a problem that persists in this story. And the problem is the myrrh often gets the best of her. And that can be every one of us. Amen. It really can. But God sees fit to show himself faithful in these things, doesn't he? And how many times we have not embraced the suffering. And when those times are, we've asked the Lord, Lord, turn from us. You've heard me kind of say, Lord, you pursue me. Can you give me a break? And you know you say that in jest because you don't really want to. But you know what? It's not joyous for the moment, is it? It's not. We know that. But at the same time and in the same breath, but it's not yet worthy to even be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And it's in us, praise God. Not before us, but in us. See, by grace, brothers and sisters, will we let patience have her perfect work? And how does the patience come? Tribulation. Yes. And it's not because, well, I'm going to teach you patience. No, patience has a perfect work. She's beautiful. Beautiful to him. See, patience waits. Patience is still. Patience is calm, even in a storm. Patience is comfortable, believe it or not, even in a furnace. Because patience knows it's only a matter of time. Patience knows that I'm just waiting for what's going to be. Amen? And patience is proved one way, by tribulation. It's evidenced one way, by tribulation. Think of that. Isn't that sweet? That's not logical. That's called spiritual. And that's the only way we'll get there. But that's just what it is. And we thank God for it. But we see she is in the challenge of her life right now. Will you suffer together with me? Or is this just getting too hot for you, honey? And you're going to dismiss me. My love heats just too strong. I need a break. Huh? You're going to endure that heat. Huh? Brothers and sisters, we can rejoice always and in all things. We can. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And again, it's his love that does it. But we can rejoice always and in all things when by grace we allow. And I really believe this. Paul's gospel to captivate every thought. Every thought. Every reason for every breath. Every reason for every tear. More of him. More of us with him for our eternity. Remember, it's our land. It's our vines. Praise God. In the midst of the throne together with Him. I believe we can come out of here tonight and by the grace of God be encouraged. You know what, Lord? If by any means, I might attain. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.